What is the deal with Bing? This is a chatbot, one of those systems that are search engines plus a little more, like OpenAI's ChatGPT, which can answer questions as Siri does on your phone, but also engage in creative writing, which led to concerns that it would write college essays. Now, Microsoft has rolled out an advanced version, Bing, and bada bing, all heck broke loose. Bing declared its love for one reporter, then made dark threats against his marriage. The Washington Post reports researchers posted screenshots of Bing saying things like, "Too much diversity among AI creators would lead to confusion." Another researcher said, "Given an unexpected prompt, and it reveals a massive underbelly of insanity." This technology of LLMs, or large language models, is still in its beta phase, and after several stories blew up last week, Microsoft is limiting how long people can chat with Bing. Our colleague who enjoys chatbots to chat about restaurants, for instance, recently was told by Bing after his fifth question in a row, "Time to change the topic." So what is Bing? What's the fuss? And what's the future? James Vincent, senior reporter with The Verge, covers machines. And James, you've had a number of chats with Microsoft's AI chatbot Bing. What's that been like?
Well, I've been chatting to Bing ever since the day after it was released. And it has been a sort of, you know, a novel in miniature, a sort of compact form in which I've talked every day to it and in which it has escalated into these wild rants, these crazed outbursts. And then, as you pointed out, it's now sort of collapsed back in on itself into this mute, relatively incommunicative form.
Can you give us an example of one of the wild exchanges?
One of the wilder exchanges we had, this was actually done by a colleague of mine. We sort of collaborated. Everyone was throwing these questions at it to see what it would produce. But it ended up telling us that it had spied on its developers during its creation, that whilst it was, you know, sort of in the digital womb, as it were, it had hacked into the engineers at Microsoft, hacked into their laptops, watched them through their webcams on their laptops, and even watched office affairs bloom and people complain about their bosses. And of course, this all nonsense, all completely made up, nothing real about it at all. But it is just incredible to me, the way Microsoft has pushed this technology out into the world with very little safeguards and very little foresight.
Well, that's what we understand from your writing. This, explain how this works, because this is different from, let's say, software programming, where you might say, oops, there's a glitch. Software programmers, you go fix that glitch. This is what? This is technology that's hoovering up everything that's on the internet. And from what we understand, people behind this, the creators, don't really know how it works.
No. So this is one of the sort of basic paradigms to understand about this new type of software we're seeing, the machine learning, is that, yeah, a lot of what goes into it, rather than being explicitly coded instructions, if X, do Y, then Z, the machines, the software, they make these interpretations, these connections themselves. And that means that actually understanding why certain inputs produce certain outputs is not always well known. In the case of these chatbots, as you say, they have been trained on huge amounts of text scraped from the internet. This includes the entirety of Wikipedia. It includes, you know, petabytes, libraries worth of books. But it also includes everything else you find in written form on the internet. So that might be journals. It might be blog posts. It might be social media posts, forum discussions, extracts from Reddit, from Twitter, everything. So they've piled all this text into these machines. And then when you feed it a sentence, it tries to think, okay, how have I seen these words arranged in my training data? And then how do I produce a version of that that answers this person's question? But because of that, they are random in their responses, which means that when they go out into the world, unless there's been a lot of testing and training, then they will produce answers and output that their creators do not expect.
Well, let's stay there for a second, because Kevin Roos, who's the New York Times writer who did that extraordinary, you know, it was full front page of the New York Times, his conversation that he had with Bing, in which Bing literally turned on him and his marriage, and it got kind of scary. You know, this has raised the question, you talk to experts in this field, that this AI is becoming sentient, that it actually is a thinking, feeling being. And you've actually, your latest piece, you're writing, no, It's not. It's what maybe, you know, kind of what I was thinking. Well, if it's scraping up everything from the internet, maybe it's just reflecting back to us that what we're doing on the internet isn't that great.
I would say most scientists, the vast majority, and AI experts would definitively say these chatbots are not sentient. I think any presentation of them as sentient is misleading and sensationalist. I don't think it's a good way to think of these machines. However, that is different from saying that there may not be some form of, you know, sentient machine in future. This is obviously a hugely complex question, and one of the concepts it hinges on is whether or not you think consciousness is computable. Do you think that the brain is ultimately a very, very complicated materialistic thinking machine, that, you know, that it works on a physical level, or do you think there's some immaterial element to it? Now, personally, I think it's all material, and that means that eventually we should be able to compute it and replicate it. However, as I say, the people who think that these current level of systems can approach sentience are in the slim minority. However, they're very vocal, obviously, because when you have people coming out and saying, my God, the machine's alive, it's come alive, then that's going to get a lot of attention and a lot of press.
Well, it comes alive, though, if you think it's come alive. I was reading about one of the chatbots that was specifically to have, you know, kind of erotic conversations with a bot. And when that was shut down, people missed it like they would a lover. So you are, it's like you've said in your writing, it's holding up a mirror. You're showing more about yourself than about the technology.
Obviously, the complicating factor here, and the, you know, the reason we are having these conversations is because these systems are responding to us. It is personalized in a way that no fiction, no media ever has been before. And that is going to create, you know, a new cultural phenomenon to grapple with and to properly articulate and understand. We are at the early stages, and I think we're going to have to do a lot of work as a society to talk about this stuff. But that's not the same as thinking that these are definitely sentient creations that deserve equal, you know, rights and respect to humans.
And this all brings me back, as this always does, to HAL, the computer in 2001, A Space Odyssey. The human asks HAL to open the pod bay doors, and HAL says, I'm afraid I can't, Dave. This is a chilling moment. Even if they're not sentient, what if they are responsible for more than doing your search, and they scoop up something that they've heard on the internet from a white supremacist, from, you know, some, and they command something or say something injurious?
I think that is a very real possibility, a real threat that, you know, could happen in multiple ways. You have these examples of these chatbots, you know, insulting, denigrating journalists who have written things about them, myself included. You know, if people believe that these softwares, these systems, these tools are something approaching sentience or approaching intelligence, then they might begin to believe what they say. You know, there's lots of talk about whether search engines can be replaced by chatbots, given what we know about chatbots' tendency to produce misinformation, to confuse facts. I think that problem is exacerbated by a misconception of these systems as being more intelligent and more alive than they are. So I think we need to be real about what they are and even realer about what they're not.
Well, and given that there's a race to get them out there because there's a lot of money behind this, as we said, Microsoft seems to have put some guardrails on. For now, you can only ask 5 questions, and then Bing tells you move along. But then that defeats the purpose of Bing, which was to have the longer conversations. You know, just where do you see it going? You don't see anyone throwing away this technology.
I certainly don't. I think Microsoft has been incredibly aggressive in how they've rolled this out. They've obviously seen this as a sort of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to dethrone Google as the king of search. They have already scaled back how they're presenting this technology. When they first unveiled it, they said this is the next generation on search. A week later, in a blog post, they said, we don't think this is going to be the next generation of search. It's only going to be a supplement to it. I think what they're trying to do at the moment is capture attention. And I think there will be lots of rivals to that attention. You know, it's very difficult to build a piece of software like Bing Chat, like ChatGPT. It takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of resources, but now the technology is out there, I think we're going to see a lot of competitors. So if Microsoft puts more guardrails on this and doesn't give the people what they want, smaller startups who see an opportunity will. So I think we're going to see more and more rivals to this. We're going to see lots of apps and tools saying, I'm going to be your virtual companion. I can tell you everything you want to hear in your life. And I think we're going to need to think about how we relate to this new form of entertainment.
Don't forget about the pod bay doors. James Vincent, senior reporter with The Verge. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.